If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, and then 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. First reading from Matthew, chapter 21, and then from 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this: the Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, Paul writes, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe." I know that it will come as a surprise to you that whenever I read the passage in Matthew, I do have a strange picture. I don't know if anyone noticed or not, but I'm going to tell you. If you've never noticed, the text says that Jesus sat on both the colt and the donkey and rode in. That just... And I guess being one who likes circuses, I have visions of Jesus standing on the backs of both. And probably on April Fool's Day, that's a good way to start. Especially as we talk about this parade of fools that took place at that time in history. But I want to fast forward a number of centuries. In the rock opera of the 1970s, Jesus Christ Superstar. At this point in the rock opera, Caiaphas, the high priest, and his minions are gathered together watching the throngs of people ushering Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And as they come into the city singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Zanna, Zanna, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," Caiaphas sings, "Tell the rabble to be quiet. We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob that sing your song, they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse." But the people continue to sing their hosannas. And Jesus informs Caiaphas and his fellow priests that if they were quiet, even the stones themselves would shout out the hosannas. today. April 1st, April Fool's Day. We've read briefly this same encounter and a passage from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church, in which he speaks about the foolishness of God as being wiser than our own wisdom, and that God chose the foolishness of our proclamation, our hosannas, to share good news with the world. In essence, Paul is saying that God uses a parade of fools for Christ and for the Christian message in order to help save the world. So on this April Fool's Day, I want to spend a few moments doing something that we do not do very often. I want to look at some of those Christians who are part of the parade of fools and have been part of that parade of fools for over 2,000 years. Christians who have followed in God's foolishness in helping the world become more wise. Besides that, who doesn't love a parade? If we were to go back and look in that crowd, we would find all kinds of folks. Probably near the head of the crowd, we would find some of the disciples like Peter and James and John, Matthew and others. We would find Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, perhaps even Lazarus, freshly out of the grave, and many others, men and women and children, walking along, marching, taking their coats and cloaks, putting them on the ground, taking palm branches and palm fronds, and making a carpet for Jesus' parade to travel. In the middle of all of that, we have Simon Peter, the same one who later would deny he even knew Jesus, invoking a curse in doing so, but who became a leader in the church. One of those early fools that preached at Pentecost, and there were over 3,000 people that responded positively to that message, that helped lead the church in its development even beyond his own immediate ministry. That was the one that preached to the house of Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and following God's leading, opened the way for the good news to be given not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. Even we Gentiles today. Later on, as the parade continues in history, we find Barnabas. Barnabas who did not seek the limelight in the church, but Barnabas who was faithful in studying and faithful in service to the church without regard for himself, even speaking up later on for that fool, Saul of Tarsus, also known as Paul. Barnabas, who shared the foolishness of God in the flesh, dying on a cross and being raised from the dead for the salvation of all who would come. Perhaps we look back at another one that joined that long parade, Stephen, who became chief of the first deacons chosen at the church, and who was the first one who was killed because of his study and his insights and his witness to that foolishness of God coming in Jesus for you and for me. Stephen, who led in serving the needs of the church. We would add to that Saul. Saul of Tarsus, whose Latin name was Paul, though a tremendous persecutor of the early church, he became one of the greatest proponents of Christianity and the most prolific of the biblical writers. And we still look to Paul's guidance even today in the church. I would be remiss if I did not include Priscilla, of the husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, who helped her husband set up a church within their house, and who was instrumental in tutoring others, especially Apollos, who was a chief apostle in the Corinthian church, teaching. In fact, she was probably the stronger of the two Christians in her family, joining that parade of fools, singing hosannas to God through history. Or the daughters of Philip the evangelist, who we are told in the book of Acts themselves proclaimed the gospel and preached it. Forwarding a few centuries, we come across the bishop of the church at the time, a fellow by the name of Athanasius, who wrote a letter to the church at Easter, and in that letter Athanasius proclaimed as canon, as scripture, the 27 New Testament books that we have, calling them well springs of water from which we would drink and gain God's wisdom for living. We would also find Jerome, a Christian monk, who translated the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin between 380 and 400 AD. His translation, the Latin Vulgate, was the official Bible of the church for centuries and formed some of the basis for later translations of scripture. Translations by folks such as John Wycliffe, who produced the first English translation of the entire Bible in 1380 using Jerome's Latin Vulgate, despite threats from religious authorities for daring to translate sacred writ into the vulgar language of the people, that is, into English. And they said, "We cannot have every farmer and blacksmith reading and deciding for themselves what Scripture means." And yet Wycliffe added his voice to that parade of fools, sharing that good news. Or what about Martin Luther, to whom we are all indebted? Martin Luther, who was the monk that saw excesses within the official church and nailed 95 theological theses for debate to the doors of the church at Wittenberg, challenging the religious leaders to discuss and debate ecclesiastical and theological issues, and who was attacked as a heretic, and told that if he would recant his position of relying upon Scripture solely, that he would be accepted back into the church. And yet Martin Luther stood strong and said, "Here I stand. I will not recant." Or William Tyndale, who produced the first English translation based on the Hebrew and Greek texts in the mid-1500s. In fact, Tyndale was arrested, he was strangled, and then before he died, he was burned at the stake for daring to translate the Scriptures into English once again. And in October 1536, as he was dying, being burned to death, his dying words were, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." As part of the parade of fools, trying to get that foolishness out there, the foolishness of proclaiming Christ Jesus, far wiser than any could ever invent. coming out of the Protestant Reformation that Martin Luther started. We add others to that list of fools and the centuries-long parade. Our Baptist forebear, Thomas Helwys, who was an early Baptist in the 1600s, who wrote a personal note to the king in a treatise that he had written, that the king was not lord over the spiritual realm of his subjects, nor could he tell them how to believe. He wrote that in 1612, and later wrote another treatise on religious persecution, and good old King James had him arrested, thrown in prison, and let him die there. Because of his beliefs that Christ's grace gives freedom to believers. Freedom to read, freedom to share, freedom to worship. Or Roger Williams, who was part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, but decided, from some of his Baptist roots in this country, decided that God did indeed make him free, and was driven out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony and established the first Baptist congregation in this country in Rhode Island. Or Lottie Moon, that diminutive lady who most Baptists know, that served in China, that gave her life preaching and teaching and helping in foreign missions. Dwight L. Moody, whose revivalist ways helped spread the gospel in this country. Annie Armstrong, who prayed for and helped lead a movement for home missions, adding her voice to that parade of fools, believing in Christ's love and grace and Christ's work for you and for me and for anyone who would hear. Billy Graham, the unruly kid who gave his heart to God in Jesus the Christ and became one of the most recognized preachers in all of Christian history. Former President Carter and his wife, who not only spoke of their faith while serving in that office in the country, but since then have given their time and their efforts tirelessly with Habitat for Humanity and so many other causes to help the downtrodden, the marginalized, the outcast. Why? Because they listened to the parade of fools in history. And they found that God's foolishness was far greater than any wisdom they could come up with. Tommy Hearn, who never met a stranger, who loved to talk. And if you ever met him, and the one time he was here, you found out he loved to talk. And he loved to talk about all kinds of things. But he especially loved to talk about his Lord and talk about his church and work tirelessly for his church. And I could look around this room and start naming folks, even in this congregation, even in this gathering, but you know, we would be here most of the day if I did that. And I'll let you decide if you're a fool or not. A fool for Christ. Because really, only you and God know for sure how foolish you are. The parade continues. The parade continues, and its song is a simple one. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And it also continues, or actually was preceded with more of the chorus. And peace on earth, goodwill toward all of God's children. For you see, that child that came, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, came with fanfare from angels, but to simple folks, who lived his life very simply with his message of God's grace and God's kingdom and God's forgiveness, who was found more often with those that the wise and the religious leaders thought were the fools of the day, the tax collectors, the marginalized, the outcast, the sick, and who was surrounded not only by that throng on that Palm Sunday, singing Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but rode on the back of a donkey, not as a warrior king, but as a king of peace, as a king of goodwill for any and all who would listen and who would give their hearts to God's foolishness. It is April Fool's Day. But for us, for we who are Christians, and for all of those who have opportunities to hear that message and to make a choice, it is not a day of trickery. It's a day for shouting out the good news. For shouting and singing the good news as we follow Christ through the city and out into the world. Come on. Join the parade. The parade of fools. And in that find God's wisdom and grace for the world. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you that which so many throughout history have looked at and thought was foolish, you still did. Because in your wisdom, you knew far better than we could ever imagine. We thank you that on that Sunday, so many centuries ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem, entering to the shouts of those around, those who were hoping for a kingdom, those who were hoping for peace in their lives, those who found in Him your grace and your forgiveness. We thank you that throughout history, since that time, you have continued to offer us opportunities to be foolish. Foolish in the eyes of the world, but wise in your ways. We thank you for all of those, too many for us to name, who have had that influence even in our own lives. And we pray that you will help us to have the courage to be part of the parade of fools so that the world may come to know your love. It is in the name of that Christ, Jesus, that we pray and offer ourselves to you. Amen. A hymn of decision is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We do think about that cross at this time of the year especially. And yet, when we gather for worship, it is always present. Present to our viewing. When we think of that cross, and when we remember it, especially later this week, may it bring an ability to us to see ourselves as God does. But even more importantly, may it bring a commitment to share the foolishness of the cross. That God came and saved and still saves for any who will come. Our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, for any who would come and join with this fellowship, for any who would recommit themselves to that parade. When I survey the wondrous cross, number 321.